tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the 31st Lap. Excited to have everybody along for the ride. Episode number 235 coming up on deck, and excited to have a former regular here on the 31st Lap, 31st Lap alum and owner of Dirt Track Digest, one Mike Mallett, joining us here on the line to talk a little bit about what's coming up here as we move inches and inches closer to finally seeing some laps turned down at Volusia Speedway, Volusia Raceway Park in Barberville, with the Dirt Car Modifieds taking part in that action down there in Florida in the middle of February. We're about a month away from that, and then we're going to come back, and we've got about a month in there, and then we're going to be back up here in the Northeast with the Motorsports Expo, which Mike is working on with Jeremy Corcoran over at the New York State Fairgrounds in Syracuse. So without further delay, the one and only Mike Mallett joining us on the line. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I'm getting sick of winter. But you know how that goes. I'm ready for racing season to start. I'm going stir crazy here.
Yeah.
I've only been to a couple indoor races, and I love indoor racing, but it doesn't cure the need. You know,
it's just not the same.
It is not the same. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. Love talking to all the guys and seeing the different people. You know, this year, Billy Whitaker, Mike Maresca running the TQs on the asphalt, so it's been cool to see those guys. And you know, Scott Kruder won the last event down at Allentown. You know, a 360 sprint car guy from our area, predominantly runs with the Patriots. He's running the ESS a little bit, but it's not the same as slinging dirt and big block modifieds or 410 sprint cars.
No, it's not the same, but nonetheless, you hit on something down there with the indoor race. What a fitting tribute to Ted Christopher's memory, having that car back in victory lane, huh?
Yeah, it was. That was one of the sadder parts, you know, of the night. You know, I had some memories of TC from my time doing some of the announcing with the indoor stuff. You know, TC was a good dude. Always took the time to talk to you, and I mean, I can remember. I mean, DC and I, my buddy Derek Covey, Images by DC, standing in a hotel. I want to say it was outside of Trenton, and, you know, Teddy walks up, and next thing you know, we're best friends, and we talk for 45 minutes or an hour about indoor racing, you know. And every time I saw Teddy after that, he made sure to say hi to me, he chatted with me, talked with me, you know, and that was just the kind of guy he is. So that was definitely very fitting. You know, I don't think there's enough you could do for TC. You know, that guy gave us all a lot of great memories and did a lot for the sport, and yeah, that was the sadder part of the whole thing. But, you know, as always the case in our sport, you know, we go on and we go to the next race.
Gone but not forgotten, and Scott Kruder driving that car into victory lane, which TC, it was the last car that Ted Christopher was in. So it was bittersweet, you know, when that information came across the wire, but at the same time, it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, you know, and I felt bad. I talked to Ryan Preece afterwards, and Ryan Preece was also driving a former TC car.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the last restart, he was supposed to line up next to Scott Kruder on the outside. So it would have been two TC, you know, cars that TC had driven on the front row for the restart, battling it out for the win.
Right.
It would have been only fitting had Priest, you know, stayed out there and used the chrome horn to get by. I felt bad. You know, Ryan had some issues. Vapor lock is what was the source. Ended up having to go in the pits and get things squared away and come back out at the back. And by that point, there wasn't much time left.
Sure.
But that would have been awesome to see those two guys battle it out. But nonetheless, hey. Scott Kruder, you know, you talk about indoor racing and who wins those races and look at the list of names that has captured indoor wins. You know, Allentown gave us two new ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gave us Justin Bonsignor,
right,
a NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series modified driver. or NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Driver, sorry, All-American Series is the weekly. But, you know, he runs down to Riverhead and some other places. He runs both. And but I always get in trouble with my terminology with pavement stuff. But, hey, you know, Pave Track Digest, we're working on it. So, you know, that was neat to see him win. You know, he was pumped, super pumped, you know, to win that race. And the other thing cool about Kruder winning, you know, it was TC's car, but you also had the fact that it wasn't one of those the Lafleur cars that have been so dominant indoors. Like, if you read any of the indoor news, Lafleur cars, you know, a guy out of Western New York that builds TQs, specifically designed to race indoors, you know, on the concrete. So Kruder, you know, not one of those chassis. You know, that was something Trey Hoddick, Carl Hare had worked on, put all their time into, and man, it was fast. And you know, they got it done. So that was the other neat thing about it too, is, you know, you had something different. A lot of storylines, you know, came out of that. So you know, I gotta send props out to DTD. I can't even say it today, I'm so tired. But reporter Billy Whitaker. Billy put it in the show both times, both nights, for a guy that's never run indoors at all, you know, in a TQ. Put it in the show both nights, driving a companion car to Mike Maresca. So I give him credit. Billy Whitaker was getting it done. He was up on the wheel and put her into, you know, I think he got 12th and one night. He had a better finish than that. Screwed up on a last restart. Got over somebody's wheel and bounced back to 12th. But got top 10 on Saturday. So, hey, props to him. I mean, those guys that run asphalt predominantly have the advantage in indoor racing.
Sure.
You know, running on the concrete. You know, they're used to the rubbered up, all that. But the interesting, you know, talking to Justin Bonsignor, who got, let's say he got third on Saturday, I think. I don't know, it was 2 weeks ago. It might as well have been 10 years ago, it feels like. But he was talking about how the track was starting to come apart, and there was almost a cushion that he had to put the right rear on. And he was like, I don't run that dirt stuff, so, you know, it made me uncomfortable. You know, but whereas when I talked to Scott, Scott's like, man, that thing can peel apart all at once. He goes, I run on dirt every weekend.
Right.
My ass sliding is no big deal. You know, so it was a fun, you know, Allentown was fun. It was a good weekend. You know, the first time I'd been to the arena, so that was definitely a good time. You know, we got Atlantic City here coming up in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. That's the crown jewel. You know, that's the one everybody wants to win. And then a couple weeks after that, you get the first ever Albany indoor race.
Right.
Which I got to say I'm pumped about because my parents are going to go. They've never been to an indoor race. And I know a lot of people, you know, that are from the Mohawk Valley, Central New York, you know, New England, that have never had the experience of an indoor race.
Sure.
And they're going because, you know, Albany is a pretty good location, you know, right there at the hub of 87 and Interstate, 87 and 90 coming together. So that's one to put on the calendar. That'll be the not the first weekend of September. I want to say the 8th and 9th.
Okay.
Let me double check that one. Make that the 9th and 10th. It's a good thing I double checked because I'm not so good at the dates thing. But yeah, 9th and 10th. So
just point the car and you'll figure out where you got to be.
Yeah, right. I know when I got to be there. I just don't remember the date.
Are you going to be able to make the trip down to Florida at all?
I'm going to get a few days down there. Not my typical trip just because of work obligations.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, not the full 10 days like I had the last few years. Mother Nature, or not Mother Nature, but the NFL, not adding a game and adding an extra week before the Super Bowl and pushing that all back kind of screwed me. You know, Daytona had moved back a week to stay away from the Super Bowl. They thought was coming up on President's Day weekend, but this year they finally moved it up a week, and yeah, that finally knocks me out of contention for going down for the duration. So I'm going to get a couple of days. Nah, nothing like in the past. It sucks. But on the positive note, I'm going to get a chance to stay, you know, some time after and spend some time with some good friends down there.
Nice.
And enjoy that. So I'm not going to get the racing that I normally get, but I got, you know, the extra the vacation move. So I'm going to stay down and enjoy 4 days of, I guess, relaxing. I don't know if that's what you do, but I guess I'm going to sit in the beach, smoke a cigar, and, you know, maybe have myself a nice cold Miller Lite for John Baumus and enjoy myself.
There you go. Hard to argue with that plan. It sounds pretty good. I'm trying to remember now if it was with Ted Christopher or not, but I seem to remember he had a story where a driver was pretty upset with you and
Oh yeah, there was one time. It was him. And Jimmy blew a battle.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, that's the story.
And again, indoor racing is full contact racing. I mean, you make a bumper for a reason in indoor racing. And the two got together, and I want to say it was Atlantic City, and I was announcing with Shane. And, you know, we're in the infield. We're going back and forth. And Shane comes over. You know, we were had radios, and we were talking to radio. Shane's like, Mike, go over there and get an interview with TC. Talk to him. And as I get closer to him, I got to say, I can't repeat the language that was coming out of his mouth. He was pissed. And he just looks at me, looks me in the eyes like, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, he never says a word to me, just looks at me. I go to Shane, I'm like, not happening. I'm not going in there. Based on the language coming out of his mouth and the fact that I got the don't you dare come over here with a microphone look, I'm tapping out on this one. So, but yeah, that was and I just showed you know the type of competitor TC was. He was hardcore. You know, he wanted to win. It didn't matter what he was driving. I mean, they could have ran two wheelbarrows down a hill, and he'd want to win that. You know. So.
And
yeah, that was one of the better stories.
That was. I remember hearing that story a bunch of times.
Yeah, man, it's a good one.
I always got to laugh on it.
You know, I'm lucky. You know, a lot of people talk about TC, whatever, but I'm thankful, you know, that before it all happened and everything happened, you know, the untimely death and all that I got to know the guy. Mm-hmm. He loved racing. And if anybody knows me, I love racing. I can sit with somebody and I can go to a racetrack, you know, or see someone somewhere, some random spot. You know, today I went grocery shopping and saw a buddy of mine that goes racing all the time. You know, mm-hmm. We sat 20 minutes talking racing in Wegmans. You know, right. It's just... And TC was that kind of guy. He would talk racing with you all day long. It was just, you know, really sad, you know, an unfortunate loss for all of us in the racing community. He was a good dude. Whether you liked him or hated him on the track, you know, he was definitely an awesome guy.
On the topic of talking racing, we're going to get to Syracuse, and we're going to come back around to Florida here in a second, too. But on the topic of talking racing, is there any likelihood that you're going to get to Motorama in Harrisburg in February?
No, you know, for me, my indoor stuff is kind of done. I do the TQ stuff. Yeah. I've never been to the I think you said Motorama, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's
yeah, I've never done that. It's something I want to do. I just haven't had the chance to do it. You know, at some point, I think they race 600 micros. Is that what they race, or 270s?
Yeah, they've got it. You name it, they're racing it down there. I mean, they're running everything.
You know, it's something I got to try and check out. You know, for me...
Well, this is going to blow your mind. Ready? I'm going this year. I'm going down there. I'm leaving Friday, and I'm coming home Sunday.
Okay.
So...
There's got to be a demo derby involved.
There's not. Though, kind of. There is. But
what's going on with you?
it's a lot of the RC stuff, and we're going to go down and help out some of the folks with that. But it'd be neat if we could catch up.
Nice.
If
you know, what's the dates on that again?
It's February 17th and 18th.
Possibility. I'll have to look into it.
All right. Maybe.
I'm not sure. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. 17th, 18th. Yeah. See, now I'm in Florida by that point.
You're in Florida by then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that unfortunately, that's the Daytona 500, which is on the, I want to say the 18th.
Okay.
So, yeah, which I think I'm going to.
That's awesome.
A little bit with DTD's Bill Foley, announcer Birds and Fulton.
Right.
And Bill's in Florida now until he wants to come home because he's retired, lucky bastard. we've been talking, so I'm going to be down there. You know, I have some stuff to do before I get to the track and all that, but once I finally get over to Daytona area, you know, I'm there because we have a timeshare. No, I don't have it. George Smith, one of my co-owners of Dirt Track Digest, has a timeshare right on the beach in Daytona. Ormond Beach, I guess, is the proper. But we're going to hit up Daytona on that Sunday. He asked me if I wanted to go. I'm like, hell, I've never been to the 500, so let's go for it. You know, so normally I'm on a plane that morning at 9 a.m. heading back to New York. So... Yeah, why not? Might as well go for it. You know, I think we go to the 500. So, never done, never gone. Hopefully, the seats are comfortable. It's a long time. And I don't know how I'm going to do 500 laps while I'm taking a nap. That's
well, you'll be fine if you do that. You'll probably have a red flag that you missed, but all the same, you'll be awake in time for the finish.
Yeah, right. can't be any worse than when John Tibbs Zupan and I went to New Hampshire, and we're all sitting in the stands, and at one point we all got pictures of each other sleeping because we had driven up. We all had to work at a dirt track on Friday night or on Saturday night. I worked at Fonda. They worked at Fulton. We met in Amsterdam, which is right down by Fonda Speedway, at like 11:30 at night, and then we drove up to New Hampshire. We got a hotel room at like 4:30 in the morning, slept 3 hours, and left the hotel room, and then got up to the track. And I mean, by the time we got to the stands, I mean, we're all done.
Right.
Done. They start racing, you know, out. It was fun. I can say I've been there now, you know.
Right. You mentioned that you loved racing and you love talking racing, and what you didn't mention was that you love Eastern States. That's sort of one of your
I was saving that for later in the show.
Oh, okay, all right, we'll circle back to that then.
I gotta say, this year Eastern States loved every minute of
it. that's not new though. That's every year.
Yeah, I love Eastern States, man. That is that is my weekend. That is the weekend, the premiere. I gotta say though, I love Oswego now too.
Yeah, really?
I, on the dirt, I'm starting to love Oswego. I'm not all the way there yet. It's not Eastern States yet. But we're getting there. We're getting there. So, you know, give it some time. It's got a chance.
Right.
You've got a chance. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Springboarding from Motorama back to something closer to home, along the same lines, Motorsports Expo over this year, you're working with Jeremy Corcoran on working on media stuff in addition to working on the show. He's taking it over from Joe Patrick this year, helping him out on Motorsports Expo, which is coming up on March 10th and 11th, and a little bit later on, about 2 months from now.
Yeah, it's coming up. You know, Jeremy approached us. You know, he bought the show out, and I've known Jeremy for a long time and been friends with Jeremy and talked to him, seen him a few times. You know, I've known them. You know, I filled in at Canandaigua a few times when he ran it, when Shane Andrews was still there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, approached us about helping out with a website. You know, we do websites at Dirt Track Digest, and he asked us about it, and I said, yeah, sure, why not? You know, and hey, here we are. You know, we're helping him out, helping him pump that up, putting all the information on SyracuseMotorsportsExpo.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I keep adding. You know, it just keeps coming. You know, we got all the forms on there, all the dates, all the information. If you need a hotel room, that's on there. We got the directions put on there. And even your the Mudbus RC series that's going to be there.
Yeah.
We got all the info on that on the website as well.
Awesome.
So if you need to know about the Motorsports Expo in Syracuse coming up here in early March, we got you covered. Just, again, it's SyracuseMotorsportsExpo.com. And looking forward to that. You know, I'm not. You know, this weekend is the Motorsports Expo and Trade Show down in Oaks, Pennsylvania.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to make it to that one. Unfortunately, just I think I need a weekend off.
Yeah.
I'm getting old and I'm getting tired. I gotta tell you. But,
oh man, you know, it was down.
I was lucky enough to do the ROC banquet and MC that for Joe Scott Nicky. Great time. Great time. My liver probably doesn't think so, but I had a great time. You know, the banquet hall and the hotel right together, and just a great time meeting some new people. I got a chance to chat with ROC champion Mike Leedy. I didn't know Mike real well beforehand, so it was pretty neat. He's another guy. The only time I got to talk to him is when he wasn't winning, because he captured the championship without a win. He won it with consistency. I mean, every time I saw him, he was on the podium.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if you want to win a championship like that, but winning a championship is winning a championship. You know, and you dominate, and, you know, you can win two races and lose the other ones in wreck, I guess, and not win a title, but it was cool. Mike, you know, Mike Leedy was good about it, and he was happy at the end of the day that he won it. And that was fun, you know, and I just, in the week before that, Allentown, next weekend, I want to say Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
With some friends and a weekend off again, and then back to it down to Albany, and then off to Florida, and then home before heading to Lincoln Speedway for some racing. So, not much time left on the off season here. Thank God, because like I said, I'm going a little stir crazy.
Are you actually going to be at Syracuse, or are you going to go to a race that weekend?
No, I'll be at the show. Really? You know, we've committed to having a booth there. We did a booth back at the Northeast Racing Products Auction Trade Show and all that. And I told Jeremy we would definitely have a booth at this one. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
You know, again, it's fun. That's close to home. You know, this sure. weekend's tough. It's just 4 hours, and I drive to a lot of races by myself as it is.
Right.
And this weekend, I couldn't find anybody that really wanted to co-pilot. So I'm home. Now, I'm not saying I won't get up Saturday morning and go, all right, screw this, I got to go.
Right.
You know, I've been known to do dumber things.
Right.
So that's possible, but I don't know. I hope everybody has a great time. You know, I know DTD writer Ken Bruce will be there. We'll have our photographers there and all that, and they'll enjoy themselves and have some fun. I just, need a little bit of a rest on a weekend, not do some traveling. But again, who knows? I might find myself in the car on Saturday heading south. I've done it before.
I remember hanging out down at that party event one time.
You don't remember.
I do remember. I remember when that gentleman got up to share his wisdom on the end table in the middle of the lobby, and the table fell out from underneath him, and he crashed off of the bench. Remember that?
Yeah, and about 7,000 beer bottles scattered.
Oh.
Empty beer bottles.
Oh, yeah.
The manager at the desk is like, all right, everybody go to bed.
It was a long time ago now. That was a real long time ago.
That was a long time ago. But it was all fun. You know, again, the thing about race fans and racing people, as soon as y'all get together in one place, I mean, obviously there's going to be some consumption of beverages, but it's more about just hanging out with your friends and talking racing.
Sure.
Like, if you can't go racing, you sit and you talk about racing. And that was always my favorite part about all those shows. I know I went last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Last year, I sat and I talked with Gary Palmer from Accord Speedway.
Right.
You know, I don't see Gary very much. I used to go to Accord every week, you know, way back. And, you know, Gary, I sat and talked with Gary. We talked racing. It was so much fun. You know, he had some stories to tell about racing. You know, we went back and forth with some different things. It was a great time.
That's outstanding. How is Gary?
Huh?
How is Gary?
Gary's good. Gary's good. You know, Accord, you know, like everywhere, has its ups and its downs. Has some really good weeks. Has some weeks where it's tough. You know, Mother Nature has been difficult.
Very.
You know, for different places. I know Gary, I want to say it was last year, he just got hammered.
Yeah.
Now, every Friday, you look at the radar, a couple thunderstorms, where are they rolling through? You know, Accord. You know, it's just, you can't buy a break. But I know he had a couple big shows, and he did really well. You know, right. I went to a show midsummer, which was fun, early July. And I know from everybody I talked to that went to the Gobbler in November, they said, awesome crowd, great day. So, good for them. I mean, you want to see racetracks do well. So, you know, I'm glad Gary had a couple really, really good nights there. He was good. You know, and again, it's fun. I mean, I can sit down again, as I said, I can talk to anybody for hours about nothing but racing, and you know, hey, that's fine with me.
Right.
How many years did I do this show where all we did is talk about racing?
it's still going, if you can believe that. Episode number two.
I give you credit. You've done a heck of a job keeping it going, and, you know, I'm sorry not around more. You know, it's just been, I took a lot on my plate, you know, when we bought Dirt Track Digest, and it became so much.
And now
most people know my real job, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got all those responsibilities first and foremost, and more importantly, because, you know, they pay the mortgage and, you know, and I got kids to prepare for exams and all that other kind of stuff. So, and you throw a Dirt Track Digest on top of it, which might as well be a full-time job that doesn't pay like one, but,
right.
You add it all up, just got to be too much, but, you know, I do miss it. It's fun to come on once in a while and chat with you and, enjoy it. You know, at some point we should get me, you, and Bombas back together and do one show all in the studio. Like,
I'd love to. It's great. We, 31st Lap is bi-weekly now. It's every other week opposite Final Round, which is the drag racing show. We've got the drag racing show here, but it's still going, and the numbers continue to be strong, which is, you know, a couple times it got pretty lean there, but the show has been able to rebound and we've got good support from the community and it's still here. At the end of the day, it's still here. You know, I was talking with somebody at school just the other day, about some of the different things that we've done with 31st Lap and with Crash Course, with the Derby podcast. You guys now have gone into live pay-per-view, working with Utica Rome and diversifying into some of that stuff, which is outstanding. But I mean, we've been able to interview Tucker Hibbert and Robbie Knievel, in addition to all the, you know, we had Rico Abreu on the show in the past. We've had, you know, Bobby Allison on the show in the past. Just
the long lost Bobby Allison interview.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know, I mean, we had Johnny Podolak on that night. You know, now Johnny's gone.
We had Brian Clausen on.
Yeah. Uh huh.
You know, another sad state of affairs there. You know what happened with him, but yep. we definitely had Kyle Larson. I mean, it's pretty neat to think of all the guys that we've been able to have on and work, you know, and it took the time to talk to us, you know. Mm-hmm. That was neat.
And that's all it was just sitting down and talking racing. It wasn't any of the high pressure polished interviews where it had a lot of pressure with it. It was just sitting down and talking about racing.
Oh yeah, all about racing, man. That's it. And you know, it's hard to believe when you think about it that those guys were all willing to talk to us.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I mean,
three guys from upstate New York. Well, you know, and we're getting guys on the West Coast and all this other stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Years ago, we had William on. William Byron was on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way back. This was back when we were in the other building. We're in a completely different building now. But you know,
we had Mitch Post.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about Mitch Post. That's right. Man, that was.
God, I couldn't help myself on that one.
that's funny. Dirt car doing some changes this year with what's going on in Florida, changing the home track program. You think that's going to help get more people to follow the series?
I don't know. TBD.
Yeah.
You know, for me personally, I've always been anti home track points.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see it go.
How do you feel about passing points?
Those suck too.
Okay, so home track points, you're anti home track points, and the toys.
I haven't changed from my perspectives, so uh-huh. I'm good. But right. I've heard arguments on both sides. I understand the tracks that are dirt car, the big block tracks, or, you know, they wanted the home track points, but it's hard when you only have, you know, Albany, Lebanon Valley, Fonda, Canandaigua, and Brewerton to get points from.
Right.
You know, it's difficult. You know, it's not 1985 where every track's running big blocks and all of that.
Sure. It's a different landscape for sure. And it seems like there's the potential to get a lot of guys to follow because they know out of the blocks they're not at the disadvantage, so to say. They know that they're not competing for eighth-ish because they don't have the ability to get home track points. But there's been a lot of different iterations of the point structure for dirt car with different ideas and different ways that it was presented to get the drivers from Pennsylvania, New Jersey to come up and follow the series more intently. Even though the home track points are off the table, it's still a 6, 7, 8, even 10-hour drive for some of these teams. And ideally the money is basically going to be the same than it has been in past years. So at this point, is that enough incentive to get them to follow the whole thing?
We'll see. You know, we'll see. It's unfortunately the cost of big block racing is
it's not getting cheaper.
You talk to, it's just so expensive,
right?
To be competitive, mm-hmm. you can get a decent big block. That's okay. But if you want to win races, you got to go that extra mile and spend that extra money. You know, I had a chat with Andrew Ferguson one night at Burton. He had an exceptional run, great night. And he was telling me the difference. You know, they went from the 18-degree heads. Let's see, it was 18-degree heads and the 23. Whatever. Listen, I'm not a tech guy, so I'll screw it up. But they went from the 18 to the 23 or the 23 to the 18, whatever the heck the difference is. They went to the other one that was better.
Right.
You know, and he told me that it was, you know, just so much different. Yeah. You know, he felt like a superhero.
Right.
And unfortunately, that little change makes that motor that much more expensive.
Yep.
You know, and until we figure out how to get that cost in line where the average guy can run those race cars, you know, that's what we've taken out of it. You know, the crates cost stuff. Look at the explosion we've seen in crates. I'm not a crate guy. I don't like it, but I understand it because it's just cost effective.
Fulton's running two full fields of sportsman cars with a crate program. Yeah, weekly.
Weekly, right, because of the crates. You know, but you get 20 big blocks. Right. You know, or 18 big blocks, a bulletin, you know, or 22, you know, depends.
And not to pick on anybody. Depends on the week. Not to pick on anybody, but how many of those big blocks are feature winners? I mean, you talked about how you can have an okay big block and you can run okay. If you have an okay big block and you put the effort in, you make every one of those tour races, odds are you're going to probably finish in the top 12 in points, right?
Yeah, if you go to every race, I mean, top 12, top 15 in points. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, not taking anything away from Joe the Racer, but that's what you've lost is Joe the Racer.
Right.
You know, you need guys that finish 10th, 12th, 15th and back to make a full field.
Is it?
So, you know, unfortunately, somebody's got to finish last. Somebody's got to finish in the back.
Sure.
But what we've done, you know, with the costs and the prices and all that, we've taken those guys kind of out of it and made it more difficult for the average guy to go racing.
Right. And is Victory Lane as diverse as it could be?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've got, you know, you will always have the haves and the have-nots per se in racing.
No question.
You know, no doubt about it. But again, as I said, I'm not taking anything away from those guys. You need those guys. You got to have those guys.
You got to have the dominant forces that somebody to beat.
You have to have those cars to have a full field.
Right.
You know, and if you price those guys out of it, there's where your field goes.
Right.
Because you know, your top guys will always figure out a way.
Sure.
You know, Matt Shepard is always going to figure it out. Matt's a smart guy. One of the smartest guys I know in racing. I mean, probably went to RIT. He's pretty smart.
He's pretty intelligent, yeah.
You know, he started his own team, and it's like nothing changed. He got better with his own team, you know. So you're going to have those guys. You're going to have the Stuart Friesen. You know, the Brett Hearn. Mm-hmm. The Larry, the Pat, you know, Billy Decker. You know, those guys with the talent, you know, that are really good, but they also have good programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you need to find a way to get guys to back them up and to come into the sport and challenge them, you know, and the young guns. I mean, how many young guys we got coming in? You know, Mike Mahaney, he's a younger guy. He's not in his 30s yet. You know, he's there. You know, but we need 15 more of those guys to come in
sure. And
kind of breathe some life into it. I mean, you see a lot of that with the small blocks. You know, you look at Eric Rudolph and Ryan Soucy and guys like that that the small block deal has worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's more cost effective. And again, you need those guys to be able to afford to if they want to go that next step, the big blocks. But right now, it's not possible.
But hasn't that small block deal become more spec'd out so that it's kind of trending more the direction of the sportsman class than it is the open class like the big blocks? They're specking more stuff out.
I would say you're partially right on that. I don't know if it's all the way spec yet. I mean, that Wagner motor that they've developed, the W16,
right?
It's a decent motor. It's a decent motor for what it has, but it's only competitive with the open motors. It's not a dominant motor. You know what I mean? Sure.
Right.
So it hasn't gone all that way yet. Do I think small block racing will go that way? No, because I think there'll always be motors that are affordable.
Right.
You know, I've talked to some guys that race that run small blocks. You know, and they're like, if you know what you're doing, you can put one together for 10, 15 grand, you know?
Yeah, but the maintenance cost is so much higher. You've got to do so much more maintenance on small block, especially.
Though, from what I've heard, again, from the conversations I've had, is the big blocks and the small blocks are on the same page now with the maintenance and the cost.
Yeah, well, that's
fair. In terms of how much you got work you got to do to take care of them and all that.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying I'm right 100% here, but again, the things I've heard is the idea that, you know, the small block, I got to refresh it every 50, you know, every 20 race, whatever. That is just, you know, that's not what it used to be. Things are more reliable and so on and so forth.
Well, we've had conversations on here. We've had conversations on here where the 358 was a nightmare to keep up with. You had to freshen it 2-3 times a year. Now, if that's
and now I don't think that's the case.
If that's moderated, that's a huge step for the 358s. I mean, you saw Fulton and Utica have both made that change. They both transferred over the small block specific, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool to see that throwback at Utica Rome.
Yes.
And Fulton, for that matter. And Fulton.
It was a who knows what was going to happen there, and I don't think it's a bad idea.
No.
You know, I think it's going to help. You know, we went together with Fulton and Utica coming together. I think that's going to help. And now Can-Am moving to Fridays. I mean, you got a nice little tri-track Central New York-ish. style series going.
Right.
You know, so it should help everybody. And I know everybody, you know, that we're going to lose a few cars, guys that aren't going to run a small block. But for every guy we've lost so far, I've heard of a guy that's coming that runs a small block.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm hoping this helps you to increase the car count, you know, and get things back. You know, back when we ran small blocks weekly, now again, I'm going back 10 years or 12 years when I first.
Probably even more than that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I am a 15 now. You know, I can remember the, you know, again, the first small block Super Dirt Series race. Always open to Utica, which it is this year as well. And the details on that are coming. You know, I know they're working hard on the Utica room schedule, talking to Bill and Kim the other day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 70 cars in the pits for small blocks.
Right.
You know, yeah, that was Utica was the small block. That's what we did. You know, and we were one of the last ones in Central New York to leave the small block and go big block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's nice to see us leading the change back.
Sure.
So,
over in on the topic of Utica, are you going to be doing the live streaming again with the pay-per-view program?
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to morph and change a little bit on what we do, but we've had preliminary talks on it. You know, we've got some numbers and things to look at and go over. But, you know, for the most part, the first year was, I know on our end, we're pretty happy with how things went. Live streaming is always tricky.
Yes, it is.
You don't want to keep people away. You know,
yep.
that's the talk. But when you look at, you know, as I've talked with Bill and Kim at Utica Rome, you look at the successful facilities, they do live stream.
Right.
Because you know, no matter what, you're getting your product out. You know,
right.
I think that's the most important thing with live streaming. Unfortunately, the mentality in our area is not in favor of live streaming.
That's correct.
You know, and I'm sure you've dealt with that with what you do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you go other places and they're more open to it.
Sure.
You know, I know Pete Demetrazic, we did it with him at Fonda Speedway, and Pete was real cool with it. You know, he was happy, and, you know, we did the Jack Johnson tribute race. You know, he was excited about it. I'm hoping we can get a couple more big races and prove that this is the next revenue stream for racetracks. Because
yeah.
I honestly believe that and think that, and looking at the numbers that I've seen from what we do, you know, there's a split of about, I'd say 70-30 of people that are probably too far to come to the race that are buying the stream versus the people, you know, that are close enough that they should be coming,
right,
but they bought the stream, you know, and I think that's a pretty good number when you average it out.
The biggest selling point that we always fall back on when we're streaming with Crash Course Live, and this goes for when we're in Utah, North Dakota, Ohio, Virginia, Florida, wherever we might be, is this is an opportunity to advertise. This product is going to be out there for antiquity. As long as there's an internet, somebody can find this. And if you can present this the right way and make it an advertisement to create this as a destination, once they see it, they're so hooked, they have to come and see it in person. Over time, it's been proven that will work. If you put it out there as a destination in time, it might take 2 years, it might take 3 years, but that becomes a destination. And the thing with a weekly racetrack is you're not going to get them to come for the weekly event, but you're going to get them to come for the major event. The big event is what they're going to come for. So when you have a special event, you know, whatever iteration of special event you want to look at, be it at the end of the year with the 360s and modifieds, be it middle of the year, whatever, they're still going to make the trip. And then at that point, once they're there, maybe if they're close enough, they will start considering it weekly. But you've got to get them exposed. And after you get them exposed, you get them hooked. And once you get them hooked, they've seen it so many times, they've got to be there.
Yep. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's my belief. But again, we're trying to crack the nut here.
New
York is its own breed of racetrack promoters.
Yes.
I'm not knocking any of them because there's a lot of them that do a heck of a job. You know, and it's just this area of the country is so different than other areas that you go to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And in terms of how people look at things. And my only assumption on that is just because of I think there's just so many racetracks. You know, and everybody's looking to – You know, everybody's worried about their profit margins. I mean, because it's tough. New York's tough. I mean, for tracks to make money.
Right.
You know, you're competing, you know, you think about out west, like, you know, I'll use the Knoxville example because it's the easiest one I can come up with. But if I go to Knoxville on a Saturday, guess how many 410 tracks I'm running against within 6 hours?
Not zero.
Yeah, right? You know, the closest 410 track is Jackson, Minnesota, and then there's one, you know, who's used to be Hoosets.
Right.
You know, you got three tracks running 410s, but they're 5 hours apart.
Right.
You know, and in New York, you talk big blocks or you just talk modifieds in general. Living here in Syracuse on a Saturday night, I go to 15 places that are 2 hours or less away.
Right.
You know? So I understand the different mentality.
We were set up to do the opener at Outlaw a couple of years ago when the 360s were going to be there in conjunction with the modifieds, and we ended up getting rained out. But we had got everything set up and got everything ready to go, and it was going to be a lot of fun to try it because it was going to be one of the first times we'd ever done anything like that in Central New York on our end with Finger Lakes One. We were just going to stream it on YouTube and call it a day. And we had found a way to tap in. We developed a way to tap into the track announcer so we'd be able to focus on the production and the camera angles while the action was happening, and then we could roll out of the track commentary, come back to 31st lap, discuss a little bit of stuff, and then turn it back over to the track. And it was going to be, in theory, it was going to work out really cool. Rain came through and none of it mattered, but but it was going to be something fun to try. And then unfortunately the schedule never aligned for us to get back there and try another live stream from a racetrack. But you know, you're not even weighing in the challenges of cell phones, of internet traffic, of internet interference and things along those lines. There's a lot of challenges that face somebody that's got the goal of live streaming. Facebook Live is one thing, but putting on an actual production that appears, whether it be free on a track website or through YouTube, or whether it be a paid account through one of the multiple different pay-per-view opportunities, streaming platforms that are out there, it's not easy, and it's a much, much different animal.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a challenge each week, you know, and it's something, you know, excuse me, but it's something that we've learned that over the year, you know, we didn't go big with it, you know, I think we did two road events all year. It's a learning experience.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure we had our ducks in a row before we go after the bigger fish, per se.
Sure.
But, you know, Utica, we had our hiccups. We had, you know, a couple weeks, you know, that were just, what the hell changed and how did we screw this up? but, you know, for the most part, we were lucky and things went well. You know, our Fonda event went well. Our Rolling Wheels event went well. So, you know, we did want a weed sport with the Sportsman. You know, those all came off relatively clean and good. So, you know, we're hoping for bigger things this year. Nothing definite, nothing 100%, but we're working on some stuff that we want to try and want to do.
Awesome.
So we'll see. You know, who knows where that'll go. You know, I hope that side of the site takes off. So I think, there's a lot of potential for that.
Absolutely is. Yep, absolutely is. We went to Utah and did a couple of pay-per-views and got a lot of great luck, and we went to Utah and did a couple of pay-per-views and there was no luck to be had. So it's just one of those things. It's no matter what the market's got.
Yeah, right. You can't control the weather. You can't control any of the weird side, you know, all the other things that you don't know. You know, like for us at Utica, you know, we couldn't control people racing in Pennsylvania that day.
Right.
You know, we get a lot of PA fans that log on and watch our service on Sunday nights, but if there was a race on Sunday night in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you know, we lose some of our traffic, per se, because they're going to the races, you know.
Yep.
And I guess that's a good thing. You know, it's not something to complain about. You know, you want people to be at the track. So,
right. But again, exactly.
It was a big learning experience, big learning curve. And again, we still got a little bit to learn, but you know, hopefully we'll get there and this year will be bigger and better than last year.
So we've got some indoor racing coming up. Then you're looking at getting to Lincoln finally, once we get closer to March and April.
Yeah, if it's like any other year, I put all my heart and soul into getting on that Lincoln list so I can go there 3-4 weeks in a row. And then I end up either once or none.
Right.
I don't know if I'm like the bad omen for that place or what, but every spring when I want to go there, Mother Nature just craps on them. It just sucks. But when they do hit that home run on opening day, you know, that last weekend in February, and there's 20,000 people. Well, I know there's not 20,000, but it looks like 20,000 people there.
Right.
you know, it's always fun to be there for that, and that Northeast opener is always fun, and no matter what, wear your long johns and your snow pants and your winter coat, even if it's 60, because at some point it's going to be colder than that.
Yes, absolutely is. But we're gonna be looking at Florida before that, and Motorsports Expo March 10th and 11th in Syracuse, the New York State Fairgrounds. Ahead of that, everything going well with Dirt Track Digest, the live stream stuff, looking at some diversification coming up, Paved Track Digest, everything going well with that as that continues to develop. What did we miss so far? I mean, we're trying to cram everything into a short period of time.
We covered a lot here. I wish I had some driver news to talk about, but
it's been quiet.
Man, I couldn't squeeze, you know, I can't get anything. There's nothing.
It's been quiet.
You know, a couple of years ago, we had such a huge winter where everybody, you know, changed rides and all that. You know, Billy Decker, Stewie, yep. With the Hallmark ride, you know, Matt Shepard leaving, you know, with the issue and fired or leaving, whichever, HBR, you know, he had all that stuff going on.
Right.
And the last couple of winters, it's just like, man, nothing. It is just, you know, it is desert dry with winter news. On a positive note, though, we've added some I'm pretty excited. We added a couple of writers back to the site and new writers and things of that nature. So that pumps me up about the year. We've got a relationship now with 4Wide Media,
who awesome.
Works with a lot of different drivers, and they're going to exclusively display their content on Dirt Track Digest now.
Fantastic.
So that's cool. We've added John Zachary, Ryan Hill, other names from 4Wide Media. They've come on board, and also Hunter Horton from if you know Jimmy Horton, his son,
yep.
young kid, teenager, just getting into the writing world.
Yeah.
He did a little stuff the last couple of years, some blog kind of, you know, short little write-ups, but we're going to try to help him get him to the next level.
And, fantastic.
Get him into the motorsports media, you know, talking to drivers and doing all that, and it was pretty neat. He last night sent us his first story, interviewed Zach Dom, mm-hmm. who ran the Chili Bowl and was the Power Eye Midget National Champion.
Sure.
So that was you know, I'm real excited about that. And Matt Knowles, former contributor to Dirt Track Digest, coming back, will be exclusive with us. You know, he does some stuff for Speed Sport as well, but different content. So he'll be exclusively back with Dirt Track Digest in 2018. So we're growing, and I love it. You know, and again, if anybody knows me and knows what we do at DTD, it's all about, you know, the love of the sport. I mean, that's why we do it, and
sure.
everything I do is, is around because I love racing, you know, as I said earlier. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that love racing. We got a great staff and great people, great owners. You know, I love having the opportunity with, you know, George and GT, and I talk to those guys every day about what we can do to improve DTD. Where are we at on this? How are we doing here? Where do we need to improve? You know, what do we need to do better? And it's just been awesome. And it's great to see the people that, you know, coming to us that want to be on board with the site and want to write and want to take photos and want to do this and that. So I tell you, I'm pumped, man. 2018 is going to be awesome.
Well, sure sounds like it. I do look forward to getting with you to talk a little bit more about the live streaming stuff, compare some notes. That's it's very intriguing to me. I'm glad that everything went well for you first year. And
Now, are you going to live stream the Mud Bus races from the Expo is my question.
It's funny that you should ask that. We've already had those conversations at both Motorama and in Syracuse, but I'm not sure that we're going to be able to pull off both. I'm pretty busy on those days, unfortunately, but I'd certainly like to. When we went to Finger Lakes Speed World last year, we set up for 31st lap at the bottom of the mall down by JCPenney's and situated a remote camera on the track to stream part of the racing while we had the conversation about what was happening on that track and on the racing side of things at Finger Lakes Speed World at Auburn Mall. So we've done it. It's done, been done in the past.
All right. Well, there's your goal.
That's it. That's
it. I got to ask you, what kind of track are you guys building at Syracuse Motorsports Expo?
We're going to use the concrete in the back and run on the slick concrete and make them run the short course truck rubber tires so that it's like driving on ice. Really puts it in the driver's hands.
So it's going to be slow, slippery, and they're going to slide. It's going to be like racing Utica Rome in a big block.
It's going to be awesome. We had a couple test runs at my parents' house in the garage, and the concrete was just like running loose dirt. It was so much fun. Guys were laughing and having a ball, and they were going slow enough to where they weren't breaking stuff. We're gonna make it's gonna be a much bigger track. We're gonna use PVC to make the outside, I think, and then we're gonna use some movable tires to really change things up on the infield. That way, they're not gonna be tearing stuff up on the inside either.
Whoa, 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 whoa. you got to put Uke tires filled with concrete, man. That's the rule.
No, I don't know if that's a good idea. That'll get expensive in a hurry. But yeah, it's going to be cool. I think you guys are going to like it. It's going to be part of the series, the Northeast Mud Boss series. There's going to be a dozen races this year. We just released some more news on it today online. And it sounds like we got a lot of interest in it, which is really cool. Everybody is really excited about taking these things that look like dirt modifieds and running at Syracuse, because it's the closest we're ever going to get to running on the mile.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sadly. But I will say, you know, Dirt Cart's done a good job. I love Oswego. Yes. Love it. Love every minute about going to Oswego. I mean, I work there, so that helps. But the fact that I can leave work and be at the racetrack in 4 minutes or 5 minutes, you know, crossing the river, mm-hmm. makes my day. But I love it in Oswego. I think it's great. I mean, I miss the mile. I don't miss the racing at the mile, because let's be honest, it was okay. But I missed
the last couple years. Come on. I mean, a lot of the years that we were there, yes, we were sitting in the grandstands and waiting for pit stops.
Let's be honest. What did we do for 185 laps?
We made a lot of jokes.
Complain how awful it was.
But then,
and then for the last 15, you're on the edge of your seat wondering, yes, who's going to run out of gas, who's got tires, who's going to win.
But the last couple of years of the mile, the racing was better. It was
definitely better. I will agree 100%.
It was definitely. It was definitely better. It was vastly improved. I mean, we're not talking races like when Bud Christman won the 358 race and that year and some of the years in and around when that happened, taking nothing away from Bud. But that year and years around there, yes, it was somewhat anticlimactic up to the last 8 to 15 laps. There was a lot of stuff going on that it's a good thing we had three or four people sitting together, because everybody had different laps on who went out, trying to keep track of all that stuff. It was a lot of time splitting up who pitted, went on which end of pit road, and who was watching the group of 16 pit stalls that we had broken up to ourselves. But I'll agree that change with Oswego, that I think that was a fantastic move. I mean, and it worked. It worked. And all that the hullabaloo about it going someplace else at this point, I kind of feel like has died down, because it's got a strong foothold at this point. The system works on a big 5/8 mile. They drop some clay down on it, and it turns into a spectacle. It's special to be there.
Yeah, it is definitely special to be at Oswego. I know I go to Oswego 3, 4, 5 times a year, and you know, for regular asphalt racing, for ROC, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, and seeing the dirt on it's just awesome. What a different experience.
I've never once been to Oswego when there was cars at the track.
Yeah, you know, you got to make a plan to get there this year.
I know. We've had this conversation 1,000 times. Just like I tell you, you got to find some time to come to the Keystone Nationals in Pennsylvania. Now that show's gone, so it doesn't apply, but, you know.
I missed it. Darn.
Yeah. I'm sure you broke up. We go to Topeka, where it's 4 days of demolition derby in a hockey arena with cars that have $30,000 to $40,000 invested in them, and they're battling for their share of you know, the winning team shares in $30,000. It's nothing like nothing you've ever seen. I know you're not coming to Topeka, but just to illustrate the different worlds that we walk in at times.
Yep. Well, hey, listen, all racing's about that, you know. As the old phrase goes, how do you want to make money in race? You know, how do you make a small fortune racing? Start with a big one, you know.
Absolutely.
That's it. It's not about money for most of us. It's about fun.
There's no more. There's no funner way to lose money. I'll go with you on that.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. You know, I keep looking at those RC cars, and then I'm like, and then I talk to people who do it, and they talk about what they spend to move up and be in the, you know, I'm like, okay, you're out of my league here.
I got cars. Anytime you want to drive one, you need one for Syracuse, you let me know. I'll have one ready.
You know, that'd be fun. I've never done it, but I don't want to get in somebody's way. You'd have to put me in the, hey, dumbass has never driven one of these before category. Do they have that or no?
Yeah, that's the heat that I'm in.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
Yeah. I do a lot better at putting on races than I do driving them. I am absolutely atrocious when it comes to those, but I know it. I know my stuff's junk. I know my maintenance program is terrible, but it is still a lot of fun. And I have more fun giving people the car and saying, go race it, go treat it like it's yours. And let's just have some fun with it and getting people all into right. it. It's we could definitely make that happen.
That'd be fun. So look me up. I'll be there. I know, like I said, we'll have a booth, and what our booth is, where we're going to be at, I'm not sure. So,
are you going to do any live streaming from Syracuse?
From where?
From the expo, from Motorsports Expo. Are you going to be doing
it? Yeah, I don't think so. You know, right now we just got the booth. We're still talking, still working with Adam Buchanan. Brought his iRacing simulator there.
Oh, wow.
For the last show. So we might do that again. You know, we had some fun. We had the simulator set up for $5. You could take some laps at Eldora in a 360 sprint car. You know, you get 10 laps, and then at the end of the day, we paid out fast time of the day.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was fun.
Excellent. Well, if you want to do any podcasting from up there, we could always bring the equipment up there. We got enough stuff to go mobile.
Well, we've done it before.
We sure have. Remember when we did it? We didn't have any benches. We ended up sitting on Jessica Power's car.
Yeah, we sat on the Nerf bar.
Yeah, on the bar.
And
on the.
Going to get a whole new set of right side.
But that was a good time. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's always a lot of fun. And that weekend's fun hanging out with everybody. And again, it's always fun to do this when I get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think we've been an hour already. Holy crap!
Yeah, I know. I was just looking at the clock. We can fill 8 more minutes. We get the whole hour.
but it's fun. It's always fun to talk racing again and catch up. And there's so much stuff. You know, once you get started, I mean, hell, we weren't even talking about indoor racing. The next thing you know, we're talking about indoor racing.
Right.
You know, in Volusia, we talked a little bit about Volusia. And all the great stuff that's going on there. I'm excited about Volusia. You know, I don't know, you know, necessarily how many nights I'm going to be able to get there because of some other stuff, but, you know, talking to some people at Dirt Car and some other folks, and there might be 45 to 50 big blocks of Volusia.
Well, they've added a night of racing, right? So we've gone from 4 nights to 5.
Now to the schedule, so you get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you get 5 nights of big blocks. Plus, I believe there's a Monday night practice.
And
so you get 6 nights of big block modifieds. You know, and let's be honest, you know, guys go down, it's vacation. You're going down to have some fun. You know, like Rick Lalbach always ends up winning one of them.
Yeah. True.
We rolled it out of the trailer. I was on the beach all day. You know, like, you know, but that's what it is for guys. You know, you're on vacation with your race car.
Yep.
You know, so it's like the best of both worlds. Your family's happy because you're at the beach and they're swimming in the pool and out in the ocean and all that. And you're like, yeah, I'm going over the track. Okay, see you later. You know, it's... That's what's always neat about Volusia.
They're paired with the World of Outlaws, the Craftsman World of Outlaws late models, which I think those two cars run on the same surface better than running them with sprint cars. And then also,
don't hate on sprint cars.
What's that?
Don't you be hating on sprint cars.
Not at all. That's not all what I said. I'm just saying what it does to the track versus what the big blocks need in terms of being a competitive surface.
Yeah, the surface needs to widen out, and it usually will do so. When the late models and the big blocks are together.
Yes, and then on top of that, if I'm not mistaken, and forgive me if I've misunderstood this, at least a couple of these races are counting towards the entirety of the Super Dirt Car Series this year, right?
It is usually part of. It's usually a non-point event.
Right, typically, but I thought that maybe I misunderstood that completely from what I read earlier. But I thought that part of that, at least in some way, was going to count towards the tour, and maybe it may not. So that's in no way written in stone.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think this. I don't think Volusia counts towards point paying events.
Anything? Okay.
If my memory serves me correctly, now I've been wrong before.
And this typically, now if you were here in studio, this would be the part where we take a quick break from the show, we all look it up online and then come back and say, oh, hey, we were completely wrong.
Well, I'm on the schedule page right now.
I know the schedule's there, but
it just says buy tickets, doesn't tell me if it's a point event or not.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they're still running cars in Florida, and there's going to be potentially a record turnout. It's going to be fantastic down there.
Yeah, yep, and that's all that matters, man.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be Florida. It's going to be warmer than it is here. You know, I talked to GT, who lives in Tampa, talked to him today, and, you know, there was a low of 29 last night, so they were chipping ice off the highway today. They don't have solar snowplows. They have guys with shovels.
Right.
But they're doing their best to get it done down there in Florida. But, yeah, it is it'll be warmer than it is here.
February 10th.
Dirt Car Nationals Northeast Rulebook, that's 2017.
Yeah. February 10th, all of our live stream equipment is going to be near Tampa. It's going to be down in Brooksville, Florida, at the Hernando County Fairgrounds for the Florida Southern Nationals Shootout, a big demolition derby that they're having down there with a team format that's got 48 cars coming from as far away as Utah to be part of that the week before the Volusia races happen. Those guys, the Crash Course team, is going down there to do the live stream while I'm going to Minnesota to go announce a demolition derby up in St. Peter, Minnesota at Winter Slam the same day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's crazy. But yeah, we're going to be down there. So if any of those guys want to come up and shoot any unique content for DTD, let me know. And you can have, because it's going to be a dirt track, even though it's made out of sand.
That'll be interesting. Made out of sand.
It'll be fun. They had a great show last year, and they swapped it up a little bit, so it should be cool. It's going to be neat getting down there to Florida. It's going to be strange, though, having all of my equipment not in New York and not with me, and I'm not going to be able to babysit any of it. It's going to be with all those guys, and it's going to be what happens when teenagers are left in the house and dad goes away. And I'm just hoping that they don't turn their all the equipment into Animal House.
Oh, that was awesome. For the record.
Yeah.
Time trial points will not be awarded. Heat and feature race points will be awarded. Points will count for Dirt Car Nationals only.
Okay.
Will not count towards overall Super Dirt Car Series points.
That's...
I found it. Took me a minute, but I got there.
But we got there. Okay, so that clarifies it. So it's only counting for the Dirt Car Nationals points down there.
Yeah, everybody wants a Gator. Gotta get a Gator.
Can't argue with that. It's a sweet trophy.
Oh, it is. They are awesome.
One of the sweetest trophies I've ever seen was broken in pieces and taped together and left on a hood.
That was an eagle. the good old days.
Great story for another time. But I need to make a more focused effort to keep better in touch with you guys, with what you're doing. And hopefully we can get together and make some plans for Syracuse. It'd be fun.
It's in Oswego, but sure.
No. Syracuse. I'm talking about the Motorsports Expo.
All right. That's fine. Yeah, hey, definitely.
Super Dirt Week.
Look us up, and I'll turn a couple of laps and hot laps.
All right. We'll
stay late Friday after everybody else leaves, and then I'll try.
Great plan. We'll make that happen.
So, awesome.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on. It's always good to talk with you, and we'll be in touch with some of that other stuff coming up in 2018.
Sounds good, man. Great to be here.
Mike.
And, have a great night.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, man.
There goes Mike Mallett with Dirt Track Digest. That's going to do it for this edition of the 31st Lap. We're going to cap it right here. Coming to you live from the North Park building here at Academy Square. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.